Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And we just got seeing the movie The Wife. And that wasn't on our immediate list, but after watching the Golden Globes and listening to Glenn Close of how she was passionate of how women are being disregarded, and this was something that kind of stood out in what's going on in life, not as a Me Too, but actually just opportunity-wise, we definitely wanted to sit down and see this. So this movie, The Wife, is a wife questions her life choices as she travels to Stockholm with her husband, where he is slated to receive the Nobel Prize for Literature. So with that said, we just got the issue that this was a woman who stood by a man's career while forsaking her own. And what did that play out to be? Which became very interesting. So I'm going to slap it toward Alicia because she thought it was a very good movie. So tell me your thoughts, man.
I really, well, like you said, I wanted to see the movie because of Glenn Close. And where they talked about what the movie was really about. And I went searching for it, found out where it was at, and we actually got to see this movie. It was very powerful because the fact that it talks about back in the time where women weren't allowed to be successful. And when the woman wasn't allowed to be successful and they were good, like, for example, Glenn Close was a writer. And so she was good at what she was doing. She was going to college and just so happened she met the professor. He was like critical of how her work was. You know, he was saying it wasn't good. She needed to focus on more things. And she really was not that bad. So the thing was is that she finally realized that even though she was a good writer, that as a woman, her writing wouldn't go that far. Her books would not go that far. Mm-hmm. So with that, her and her husband and her, she decided to, in fact, she took her husband's writing to some men. They looked at it and they said it was trash.
Yep.
And then when she then took her stuff to them, they loved it. They said that this got potential and they really can go somewhere with this. And so what she did was that she gave them her stuff with his name on it. And so from there, it started to go from there. But you didn't get into that part of the story until later on. But what it did talk about was the fact that how they got together. Her husband was just a mess. And it talks about how she had to take care of him, make sure he was on track, took his medication, and she was just there to take care of him. And it just talked about how she put her whole career aside. And that's the impression they gave you, which she really did. But because of his writing, he got the Nobel Prize. But the thing was, it wasn't his writings. Mm-hmm. It was her writings with his name on it. And all it did was it showed you, it went back and it showed you how, what they had to do. Because he was definitely not a good writer, but she was. So it just went back to showing you how they got to where they got to right then and there. And it was really kind of like very important because a lot of women did a lot of that. You know, we're talking about, I think it was back in the 40s and 50s.
I think it was 50s.
Yeah, so what they did was show, because Glenn Close is older, so it shows how the older women really, a lot of them did put their careers or their, how would they inspire what they want to do, put that all aside because back then it was that women couldn't do it or they weren't good at it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, but this was very good. I just like how it just flowed, you know, how it showed that he was still a flirt. They covered this up for so long that it started to hurt the relationship.
Yeah. So what I got out of it and thought it was, when they say drama, you know, there's a lot of movies that say drama. This was drama. And it started with this young lady, Joan Castleman. That's her married name. But Joan, she went to college. It looks like it was all-girls school. I forgot the details on that. And this professor was saying, hey, won't you come over? You seem like a good person. Come over to the house and watch my kids. Because he was married. So that was one thing that you kind of saw, that when they was doing flashbacks, because the initial story started up them waiting for to get the word if he would have got the Nobel Prize in Literature. As soon as he got it, they started going back with the flashbacks. So he was telling her how good her work is and so on and so forth. And then when she went to the house and it showed how his wife was a little, you know, kind of controlling, because he was pretty weak and needed to be controlled to a certain extent. But the more time that he spent with her, the more he was getting excited back with writing, because he was teaching these women how to write. And she was growing to be in love with him. So she went to his house. She was going through his stuff while she was watching the child. So eventually they was having an affair together and they got a divorce.
From his first wife.
From his first wife. And so you see the dynamics of him trying so hard to be a good writer and how her writing was afloat. So he took her to some writing, like they normally do, some bookstore. And he introduced her to a lady named Elaine Wiesel, and that's Elizabeth McGovern. And she said, let me show you something. And she reached up after she talked to everyone. She said, I'm a book writer. I mean, I write books, but obviously I got about 100 or so books. But the only reason is because I paid my family to buy them, or I bought it for them. So when she talked to Joan, she said, let me show you something. And she reached up and she got a book. And when she opened a book, it was like, you hear like a, and she said, you know what that sound is? She said, that's the sound of a book not opened. She said, as a female writer, that's what you have. You will have books that you will not read. I mean, people will not read. So understand, that's not how your career is going to go for women. So I looked at that, and even though Alicia said this was back then, you still see that to this day, that with relationships, there's men and society who says, well, this man is doing a lot better, so you should be subordinate. My wife went through that when I was in the military. And there's a lot of women that go through that, has been pushed aside, and their skills and their talent is not being recognized because we're in a society that males or men are the dominant within there, and they don't give the opportunity to a lot of women. So I was seeing that dynamic as it was growing, but then it was saying, wow, her talent is better, so she must be helping him with his writing so he can be better.
Right. That's what I thought.
So yeah. But it was a slow drama, and you can see she kept saying, stop giving me credit. Stop showing me as the weak wife that stands by and holds your hand. And I was kind of like, I wonder why she's doing that. She did help, so she should be grateful to be getting this recognition. But little did I know, she should have been grateful. She should have been awarded. And The reason why she should have been awarded, because all the books were written by her.
And was telling her story.
And she was telling the stories that she lived through.
Yeah, with her
because
husband.
Because he was going around having affairs with other women. The things that she went through that was so really vibrant in the books. And
she knew her characters.
And she was able to develop her characters really, really well. And there was a writer that showed up, Christian Slater, and he wanted to do a biography on her husband, Joe Castleman.
Right, he sure did.
And he was like really invasive in things, but he had rumors that she was writing it anyway. So he was like, I just want to talk to you. You know, you're very interesting. I found some of your writings that was earlier. He said, but I've noticed the similarities of the writings that he does and your older work. So he tried to get her to admit that he was, that she was writing it.
Right, right.
And all along, you can see how uncomfortable he was with the other Nobel Prize winners. Even though he was Nobel Prize winner, it was like he still didn't get along with the people that mm-hmm. was there, you know, the physics mm-hmm. and the mathematics.
He kept saying, you're not going to come with me? Why are you going to come with me?
No, she said, no, you want that.
Yeah, this is for you.
She said, yeah, if you want that, just go ahead. I'll just walk around Stockholm. So in the end, we find that it was her that was writing every damn thing. And he just wanted the notoriety. And it showed how some women will take a seat back in order for their husbands or the man in their life to be successful.
That's true.
And even though you don't look at it or see it that often, a lot of times people think that the woman wants to do that. But that's not necessarily true.
It's based on because of society.
Yeah, but the thing is, society does that. Your community can be affected that. Mm-hmm. Your family could be an influence on that. And it's a lot of characteristics, but this was really, really in your face because you didn't understand why she seemed so distant. She right, was kind of right. like, oh, I'm tired of this. I'm just tired of this. Except for really being happy for him. She was kind of like, I'm here to support you. That's all. You know, I'm here to support you. You're my husband. You did a good job. But you still felt the drama and the tension. And you didn't know why until the story start building. And that's what I enjoyed about it. Because it was building up to say, God damn it, you weak ass bastard. And then they brought her son. And her son wanted to write.
You know, her son had already written.
Yeah, he's already written.
He had written something and asked his father.
Yeah, what he wrote a lot of things.
And
he
asked his father about it. And his father didn't know shit about books.
But he said, well, I'll get back to you.
I mean, the same thing he told his wife when she wrote, when she showed him her first stuff.
Right. So he was trying to downplay them because of his lack of writing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I found that to be interesting that he did that to his son. And his mother said, I think you did a really good job. And the father was like, well, if you told him, he said, no, he wants it from you. He needs to hear it from you. And he was being there, and you saw he was like really pissed, like, damn, you know, even though you're the big star, at least give me
some feedback.
Yeah, give me some advice. Give me some feedback. Yep. Give me something. And he didn't, and you didn't understand why until you realized he wasn't a writer anyway. And then when the son kind of got some information that his father wasn't the writer, he said it comes together because they picked up a book. And they mentioned one of the characters, and he didn't know who the character was.
Right, right.
And which made it funny because if you wrote a book, you know that's part of your characters.
Yeah, you know your characters.
You know your character because you're the one who wrote it.
Yep.
And he was kind of like, hey, you don't even know your own damn characters. Ugh. But he ignored it until he sat down with Christian Slater, who was trying to get the information.
Yeah, he was just really trying to get as much information.
Because he know what he heard.
Yeah, he heard. Yeah.
He know what he heard, but he had to get a validated source to say, now I can proceed on with that. But overall, I thought it was a great drama because it showed the struggle that women have in a relationship. Now, not on their own, not anything outside of that, but with a relationship, and you're in there with a man who's supposedly supposed to be good at what he does, and she's supporting that, you would understand it.
Right.
So in the end, it came out to she was supporting herself and giving him all the credit because still at her age, she still felt that she couldn't be mm-hmm. a good writer. Mm-hmm. At her age, in this day and age where women are writing, she still pushed him and said, well, you're the one who's getting it, so.
Yeah, because he actually, you know, after she was talking about all the affairs he had, it seemed like he was taking advantage of the fact that he became famous with all these books.
Yeah. So he forgot that it was his, but his arrogance was, well, I help you with this. So we did it together. Mm-hmm. And then she said, okay. But then he started going back to, but this is me.
Right.
So regardless if he tried to say we did it together, he could have been said that. He could have said that long time ago that my wife and I write these books.
Yeah, he could. He could
he
have.
He could have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he could have.
But he did not do that.
Right, right. That's true. Because he wanted to take credit for it.
He wanted all the credit.
Yeah.
So his ego was, no, I'm going to take the credit. And even though you're doing it all, I'm going to be the face of it.
Well, I mean, even when he knew that he was going to get the Nobel Peace Prize, that was when he could
not
have.
Not the Peace Prize, just the Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize, literature. Right, for literature. He could have told, said before then, said, well, my wife been ghostwriting for me, and I've just been using her, and she just been using my name.
Yeah, or not even given all the credit. He could have shared the credit and said, we created these characters and
together.
Everything together.
Yeah. That's true.
Just to ensure that they knew, well, I guess we have to give the prize to both of you. So what? You both got it.
Yeah.
But he was so selfish, and she gave her all to him, mm-hmm. which pissed me off because, you know, I know what kind of person I am, and I know what I've done. And to not do that, and knowing that's not your skill, knowing mm-hmm. that you didn't do it, knowing that you getting all the accolades because of someone else and you taking full credit for it is just so disgusting to me. And that really bothered me. And mm-hmm. I can see it through her eyes, the way she was disgusted that, look, stop giving me credit and you're not giving me credit.
Right.
You're giving me credit as just being a supportive wife. You're not giving me credit for fucking writing this stuff. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
And she was like, I just don't want to hear it no more. This is just, it's too much for me because you're a liar and you showing something that's what you are, but you're not really who you say you are.
Exactly, exactly.
So a really, really intense drama. I can understand why she was nominated. I think the dynamics of the movie, they don't show much. It's usually in a hotel. There's barely anything outside of being in a hotel or dialogue between people. The flashbacks show dialogue of how it relates to the current situation. So it was a lot of closed-in activity, but it was a tight-knit type of performance that you see how the people stood out. But I think she stood out in the whole movie. I think everybody else did.
She did.
A good role.
Right.
But it was her movie, though.
Yeah, it was her movie. She did an excellent job. I mean, you really felt her pain, you know, because you felt the fact that she, in her mind, she's like, why did I let it go on this far?
Yep. Why did I do that?
Yeah, you know, why didn't I just stop this? You know, and I had the opportunity to stop it because time has changed that it would, they would have been acceptable
yep.
to know that I did this. And so she, in some way, she was blaming herself.
Which, in a way, it was a portion of her, but she wanted to be a supportive wife.
Right, right.
And,
she
her
kept
dedication
giving
of being a dedicated wife put
she kept
her
on
in
giving,
that position.
Right, she just kept on giving in. She yep. kept on saying, okay, I'm just, this is going to get better,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when he won the Nobel Prize,
mm-hmm.
That's when it changed. That's when she started to say, oh, hell no.
She was disgusted.
Yeah.
Cause she's like, I am done.
Yeah. Cause she tried, then he tried to hit on another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Cause his, how would you say in his, trademark, let's say,
right,
was him putting his phone number on a walnut.
Yeah, on a walnut.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And something with a little note on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And she found that he had it in his hand, that he was trying to give it to her, but didn't.
Right.
And she was like, no, I was just waiting on you. I was looking for you. She was like, no, you wasn't.
Yep. Yep.
No, you wasn't.
Yep.
And
so,
she was like, I'm just done. I'm
yeah.
done with this.
Yep. And then how it ended was like, that was just weird.
Yeah, it was. It was strange. But at
yeah.
the end, she was on a plane going home. And she had a blank paper with a pen in her hand,
mm-hmm.
which to me said, it's time to write for yourself.
Yeah. And also, she said, when I get home, I will explain everything that happened to you and your sister.
Yeah. So the sister was married and she was pregnant, but she had a child doing that.
Right.
But the son went with her. Mm-hmm. And so she flew back with her son. And they was on the way back.
Right.
But anywho, so really good drama. thanks to Glenn Close on this one, because I think all the supporting characters were good, but she was amazing.
She was amazing. So what do
you understand why?
Yeah. So what do you give it?
So I give it like a 7.5.
Oh, I give it an 8.
So I gave it a 7.5, and it wouldn't go lower than that because I just think it was a good, well-written movie, because this was a book too. It was a book by, I think her name is Meg Wolitzer, W-O-L-I-T-Z-E-R, novel by the same name. And then Jane Anderson did the screenplay for that. Yeah. And then there was a Swedish, Björn Rugen.
Who was the director.
Yeah. That's why in Stockholm. But even though they wasn't in Stockholm, they was somewhere else. But it was a Swedish director. He did really well. Nothing too dramatic. No because
it
editing.
Wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't no. It wasn't something that needed. I mean, it was like you said, a couple of rooms, a couple of places. It wasn't a lot of actors. They didn't need a lot of actors.
Mm-mm, not at all.
And so it was actually, you know, that's all it needed. I mean, it was mostly about the dialogue and the relationship.
Yeah, and for you to see it and see how it slowly built up to the climax of realizing who's the writer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I gave it an 8 because of Glenn Close. Glenn Close, her performance was just amazing. I really could relate to it.
Yeah, because if it wasn't her, I think I would have had a low 7.
Well, if it wasn't her, we wouldn't be watching it.
Yes.
And I love Glenn Close. I love Glenn Close.
Yeah, I always thought she was a great actress. Mm-hmm. So anything that she was in, I think she just stands out for me. I think she does a lot better in her dramatic roles than a lot of other actresses. And now that she's older, she's being
very selective.
Very selective in that. So I just thought that was, she did a fantastic role in that. I really like her a little more than Meryl Streep in a lot of movies.
Yeah, Meryl Streep. Yeah.
Meryl Streep is good. I'm not saying that she's not. And I think some of the roles that she's done amazing. But I think Glenn Close give me more of a dramatic feel than Meryl Streep does. But to each his own. So, yeah. So I have a 7.5 and Alicia's an 8. Good movie. Worth seeing. And I had it at a 7.5 too because I liked it, but not a repeat, but I know all about it. And he gave you enough to know all about it once. You don't have to repeat seeing this because I think you got everything you needed through the first seeing. It's not a repeat. It's not a repeat unless you want to sit down with someone and kind of have the conversation about it. And that would be a good conversational movie to kind of talk through. But anywho, Fade to Black Cinema, that's what it is. Movies and TV series, TV movies. That's what we do every Wednesday. So tune in every Wednesday. We coming up to our Oscar nominations. So as soon as that rolls out, we're going to give you our take on the nominations as well. So we got a couple of movies, like we said on a previous podcast, of what we intend on seeing before the awards are given out. So that's what we're headed toward within the next couple of weeks. So anything else, Ben?
No, I'm done.
Sue, thanks for stopping by Fade to Black Cinema, and we'll see you next Wednesday on Fade to Black Cinema Podcast. Bye-bye.
See you later.